Hello and welcome to the Old Health Heart Health Podcast. This is your host Joe for podcast number 19, October 13th, 2009. Just remember for today's show notes and support materials, please visit us at www.oathealth.com/blog/podcast. And for today's show, we have some news and research that has come up more recently. So we have some information coming from the American Heart Association, some information about sugar and decreasing that. We had alluded to that in the last podcast. I really found some really interesting information about heart disease in women in a study that put together a number of different studies and looked backwards to see what are some of the similarities there for women's heart disease that may be different from men's risk for heart disease. So we're going to go ahead and get started with today's podcast. Okay, and welcome back. Let's get started. We have some information here. I wanted to go over this. The American Heart Association, about a couple weeks ago, put out some information about how we should restrict the amount of sugar we get on a daily basis. We just did this podcast that talked about sugar content in our foods, maybe in a lot of places we don't expect it to be. Maybe we're eating more sugar in a food that we thought was just a normal run-of-the-mill food for the day, really is more of a dessert. And so we're seeing that over the last 20 years, last 30 years, even last 100 years, we just continue this trend, this upward trend of consuming more sugar. And so the article I have today came from ABC News, American Diet Too Sweet for the Heart's Health. It really starts off with looking back to saying, from 1970 until now, we're eating about 19% more sugar, which is just a significant, for such a small amount of time, significant increase we're seeing. And so the American Heart Association has come out with some new recommendations. Their focus generally isn't on sugar. It's generally on heart disease, mostly in the area of things like saturated fat and trans fat. But because of the amount of sugar we're consuming, it's contributing to obesity, which also is a risk factor for heart disease. And so they felt the need to speak up about this issue as well. Restricting women, trying to say eat less than 6 teaspoons per day, which is about 25 grams, and men should eat no more than 10 teaspoons per day, which is about 37.5 grams. And so that would mean that most Americans would have to cut their sugar consumption following these guidelines by 70%. They talk about the author of this study talks about the fact that, we know the number one source of added sugar in the diet is from soft drinks. And we reviewed that a little bit in the last podcast. And we know that that's one of the main places to get it from. But it comes from a number of different places as far as sugary cereals, candies and sweets, cakes, those type of things as well. But I think from this week's challenge, really looking to the back of that label, I think we're going to find it in a lot of our day-to-day foods in places we may not have expected to see it. So we know that obesity, the sugar content of our diets is really contributing a lot to that. What the American Heart Association is saying that it does, it plays a role in heart disease then because of the fact that obesity is going up. So sugar has also been implicated for high blood pressure as well as obesity and also for inflammation, which are additional risk factors for heart disease. And some question whether making yet another complicated equation in the list of nutrition recommendations is going to help people. I really think it will. This is definitely one of those areas that we can really take a look at the label, take a look at what we're eating on a daily basis and say, hey, I really need to control some of this. And it really isn't as complicated. I think from some of the podcasts we've done, the issues are not really as complicated as they may seem, because if we eat a whole food diet, less processed foods, stay away from, empty calories, stay away from food that's not really food, we can avoid all the issues together. We can avoid eating trans fats. We can avoid eating too much sugar. A lot of these other issues that kind of all tie together, we can avoid them straight out just by eating a whole food diet, staying away from empty calories. And so some people thought that this information was overdue. Some kind of debated whether or not the American Heart Association should really get into this. Maybe they should stick more to the saturated fat and trans fats, and the Stroke Foundation should cover sodium, and the Diabetes Association should cover sugar, and But the problem is you get too many disjointed advices, and then it's complicated to follow as well, especially when a lot of people are finding that they're not just having heart disease, they're having diabetes along with that, things like metabolic syndrome that they're including with that, that really cover a lot of these different things. And when we focus too much on one message, like don't eat fat, well, we can go overboard, and then all of a sudden we've shrunk our fat content down too far, maybe not getting enough of the essential fats, and we're doing too much of what we're seeing now, things like sugar, and imbalancing that the other way. So I think a good balanced message from the American Heart Association is welcomed in my book. So I'm glad to see that they're kind of stepping out in this issue as well. So let's move on to the other news that we have for today. It comes from WebMD. Talks about his and hers heart disease. Up to half of women may not have traditional heart disease, according to some of the studies that are available. And so in this one, Dr. Mertz and the rest of her colleagues look back over a number of different research articles that are available and noted that, you know, women may not have the same risk factors for heart disease, may not have in some ways, more specifically, the same manifestations of heart disease. So in men, they kind of note here that men are more likely to have obstruction of major arteries in the heart, the larger arteries in the heart, where in this case, there seems to be a cutoff of blood in the smaller arteries than those found for men. So it's a little bit of different risk factors. And sometimes we go and look at the information from the arteries and we look at like angiograms and those type of things that they don't may not show the smaller arteries. They may just more focus on the larger arteries that are obstructed, which is more likely to be seen in men. So there seems to be this imbalance of maybe how we're approaching the issue when it comes to women. And so the call here is really that we take a different look, a little different approach maybe at looking at women and heart disease. The term they use here is ischemic heart disease, which is a little different from what they believe should be a different definition from coronary heart disease. Coronary heart disease may be covering the larger vessels of the heart that carry the blood. And this one may be covering the smaller blood vessels that are that they have reduced blood flow. And seems to be a little bit more specific to issues that women might be having. So men tend to have more of what they're calling in this article the Hollywood heart attack, the chest pain, the chest pressure, typical exertion heart attack, where the women might come up with more of just a little bit of a tightness in the chest. It wouldn't necessarily explain it as pain, but maybe more like pressure, maybe shortness of breath, indigestion, maybe more of those type of symptoms, compared to those really heavy chest pains that you might experience with a larger heart attack. And they're also seeing that a lot of women are coming in more with heart failure comparatively. And so what we find here, some of the stats that they're also showing from this study, is that more women than men die annually in the U.S. from heart disease. So 455,000 women compared to 410,000 men. Women were more likely than men to die from a heart attack and more frequently hospitalized for heart failure. Women have higher levels of C-reactive protein, which is a marker for inflammation and a predictor of heart disease. And so along with that one specifically, they're recommending that maybe a different model be used. So generally the Framingham risk score is used for across the board to find your 10-year risk for heart disease. And this author here is proposing that maybe we need to use the Reynolds risk score, which really looks at more of that number, the C-reactive protein number, as a risk for heart disease. And so, you know, some of the concerns of the author here are maybe that we're not catching all that we should during regular office visits if we're not including the different risk scores here. You know, just because the angiogram is normal doesn't mean that there's no issues of ischemia or ischemic symptoms. And so they're really calling for maybe a little bit more of an in-depth look at or treating women differently a little bit in risk assessment. You know, even at the end of the article here, it's saying that, Dr. Mertz, who is one of the lead authors, is really saying that if you feel like you've been diagnosed, you should seek a second opinion with that. And so some interesting news, some really interesting information across the board coming through week by week. We'll try to keep you up to date. Once again, if you want any of the notes or any of the support materials that go along with this podcast, go ahead and visit us at www.oathealth.com/blog/podcast.